But if you had to come up with kind of an in-joke bumper sticker, what would yours be?
Oh, God. Why am I thinking of this? You know what? I'm going to need a moment to think about that.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I think one of us should say, greetings, Apropossi, and buckle up for the set. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts. James.
Jenna. Were you doing the whistle or the cricket thing?
I did
thing?
Yeah, cricket noise. It didn't play.
Did not hit at all.
We're online, and so it got noise gated. Yeah.
We have no guest. It is just the two of us. We're already tired, and I simply couldn't be bothered to line anybody up this week. Salsa did give adequate notice. I will.
Oh yeah.
To his benefit, he did give adequate notice.
Gave 2 weeks. He offered a replacement.
Yeah. Salsa is busy with Tech Week shenanigans. I was also a part of some of those Tech Week shenanigans, which is one of the reasons why I didn't do fuck all else.
Makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk more about that in your week, or should we talk about what we're drinking?
Let's talk about what we're drinking first. It's been so bad, I'm not even drinking a lot.
I mean,
I'm just like, oh, fuck. I need a salad and some water.
Oh,
what the hell? That's where I'm at in life. What are you drinking, James?
What I've got tonight is Castle Rock Winery Zinfandel. Appellation Lodi? I imagine that's some...
Sure.
Something? Yeah.
Sure.
From 2021.
A terrible fine year. Oh.
our Castle Rock Zinfandel is made from grapes grown in California's Lodi region, a home to grape cultivation since the 1850s. Here, the long, dry summers and cool, moist winters combine with a loam soil to provide ideal growing conditions. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, ripe Bing cherry, anise, and boysenberry jam.
Bing.
On the palate, it has rounded tannins, carries notes of raspberry, and finishes with a hint of caramel. Yeah, no, I...
Oh my God, I wish other things finished with a hint of caramel.
Look, yeah, you know, if I could take a pill, I would be the most popular boy. So... But yeah, it's Zinfandel. You and Salsa and the podcast in general introduced me to how much I love a red Zinfandel.
Yeah.
So it's been a personal favorite of mine. Yeah. So we're gonna give this a pull.
Do it out of a jar and everything. Love it. Classy as fuck.
The bottle of wine was a little classy. Not super classy. It's a screw top. It's fine. But I felt a mason jar would nicely round it out. Also, all my wine glasses were fucking dirty with wine. What? How does that happen? Anyway.
It happens when the kids don't want to do the dishes, so they just start complaining. And then everything is dirty with wine.
You know, honestly...
God damn it, you didn't even react. Fuck.
No, I know.
I'm mad. I'm so mad.
I've been trained not to.
Oh, this is my own fault.
Yes. Foisted by your own Picard. So they're not lying. This is a cheap bottle of wine, but it is very good.
Nice.
I would get this again. Shit.
Will you get it again?
I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
So you are getting the caramelly bits off of that?
I am. And there's like a jamminess and a little hint of a spice, like an allspice, not allspice. I'm trying to think of the mulling spices.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Also nutmeg.
Anise, nutmeg.
Clove.
That kind of stuff. Yeah. Clove. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's it's just like a liqueur whisper of clove, but the spices are in there. It tastes great. So, I wholly endorse it. How about you? You said you're not drinking very much, but...
Not much, but I do have a drink to start the evening before I go back to water, because why have I been craving water so much? It's weird. But I do have a ginger beer. And in that, I have some Jim Beam Fire. So my mouth is basically just burning right now.
That sounds so good.
It is. It really is. I knew I wanted a slow sipper, and if the way I can make that happen is to get some super gingery, spicy ginger beer and some super cinnamony whiskey and put those in a cup, it works. I've been sipping. So.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Now that sounds fucking swell. 10 out of 10 would try.
It is lovely.
What have you been up to? Coming back to that.
Well, work was stupid. I literally, like, last Saturday is the first day I didn't work at least 2 hours since coming back from Convergence. That's including weekends.
Okay, got it. All right.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was like 20 days in a row of me working at least 2 hours.
That's miserable.
Most days were 10 to 12 hours.
Ugh.
But I got all of the numbers in. There is a possibility I might have to change something in the next day or two. Knock on all of the wood. But then I'll be done. I took this coming Friday off. Because fuck it. Because I don't have to be in the office. And so I'm not going to. So this coming Friday.
I just imagine you standing up from your desk. As the like the wind picks up, lightning crashes. It is finished.
Yeah,
and the temple is rent asunder, and the the earthquake and the
So yeah, the vast majority of my life was work, but and rehearsals because there's fight stuff for the show. Which I'm pretty pleased with that. I had tech last night. We had the fringe tech proper.
So, oh yeah.
Yeah, that's always time. Chaotic. And yeah, so showed up and there was chaos. There were some miscommunications, there were things that, you know, this, that, and the other thing. But I was very pleased with the fight. So, you know, my job done.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, there was that. I had a Gentacular on Saturday. Which was kind of, it was lovely. It was delightful. It was kind of low key, but it will be the last one that we get to have for a bit. So.
Right.
People are like, okay, so October. And I'm like, Horror Fest? Maybe. I make no promises.
And then November and December, on fire.
Well, I mean, November and December is Klingon, so yeah, it probably will be on fire. The Klingon way. but yeah, so like, as far as like actual tales to tell, I don't really have anything like horribly sticking out. I guess the one thing that was really neat, so I showed up to tech early yesterday, and it's at the Phoenix, so they have that nice little lobby area.
Yeah.
And, I walk in and I was of course early because that's how I do. There was a person there, just in the lobby, a fellow with a baby, just like a little maybe 2 month old baby. And just all kind of curled up into arms and sleepy poo and all of that. And I started chatting with him, or he started chatting with me. And Apparently, he was the husband of the photographer that was taking pictures for this particular show. They actually came down to the cities from somewhere up north. Moose Lake, maybe? I don't know. A bit of a drive. And he had no idea what the fuck was going on, only that there was a show his wife was taking pictures of, and he was there with the baby. He's like, yeah, so are you part of this show? I'm like, no, I'm part of the show that's doing the next thing. And he's like, wait, there's more than one show happening? And I was like,
oh,
buddy, do you know what's going on here today? No? So I had the opportunity to explain the Fringe Festival to somebody who had no idea what was going on. And it was super delightful. It was just, and I mean, it was extra delightful because of the baby. I'm not going to lie.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. I will tell you all of the stories so long as you let me keep, you know, having to baby hold my little finger. Baby grab is so adorable. But yeah, so I got to explain all about the Fringe Festival to someone who had no idea it was even a thing until that day. And that was just, it was super fun. I think sometimes we, because we're so incredibly steeped into the theater culture here, we can sometimes forget that there are people that don't even know this stuff is happening.
Sure.
Like,
well, and for a little while, I knew that the Edinburgh Fringe existed. I didn't know that we had a Minnesota Fringe until probably 10 years ago. Maybe 15, closer to 10.
Yeah. I think I learned about it in 2006 or something.
Sure.
But my first show was 2008, so.
Yeah.
Been doing this for a while. But yeah, it's easy to forget. Like, we all think of it as such a big deal, and it is a big deal. But even though this is the biggest small town there is, there's still the vast majority of the cities doesn't even know what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
It's so crazy to think about. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did a traveling production of Complete History of America Abridged. And we had, 10, 12 engagements, different stages that we were going to. It was quite a tour. If I remember correctly, I think it was quite a high number. And just seeing all of the different stages, like teeny tucked away out of the main drag, stages in small towns of Minnesota, places that I didn't even know existed,
right.
Even as a theater person, as a person who at that time was going for a theater major.
Sure.
I realized that there's so much going on, even when you are tapped in, that it's hard to keep track of everything.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. But I'm also impressed with the pull that the Minnesota Fringe has. Is it Hit the Lights that's from Canada? And
Fourth Wall
Productions that's from, like, Chicago?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you where everything's from.
Far off.
I know they're out of towners, and they show up and they are absolute rock stars.
Yeah. That is still one of the highlights of my first year. I think my first year watching Fringe was seeing Fruit Flies Like a Banana with you.
Yep. Yeah. It's such a good show.
It was tremendous.
And they're such good people.
Truly.
And Facebook Sweethearts. Friends with all of them.
Aww.
You're so nice.
So, yeah. Fringe Fest coming up, and then not nearly long enough afterward, Twin Cities Horror Fest and things like that. I can imagine the Gentacular is going to be on pause for a little bit. And also just getting, I can think of few ambassadors for our local theater festivals as knowledgeable or passionate or excellent at conveying the gravity of the thing that is about to happen than you. So I'm glad that that person bumped into you. And
this is why we need salsa here, so that we can have some salsa in the background being like,
Yeah, we need a little salt with our sugar.
I like a salt rim on a margarita. What?
Is that a euphemism?
Nope. Not in this case. Did not like that.
No, I didn't like it either. I will occasionally just say things that make me sad. So that's, yeah.
Well, at least you're in company.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Not good company, but company.
Yeah, just company. But it does kind of remind me of nope, I lost it. I knew I had a thing and then I lost it. Oh well, whatever. Life happens. I'll get over it.
Sometimes.
Or I won't. And I'll just carry this frustration forever.
Good. All right.
Yeah. No, we are coming up on my 3 months of festivals.
Yeah.
Because there's Fringe Festival, Renaissance Festival, Horror Festival.
Mm-hmm.
I've thought of seeing if there's another just like cute little weekend festival I can throw in there somewhere. Just to, I mean, I might.
Cast Iron Cookware Festival.
I could, my birthday is in the middle of all that. I could call it my Gen Fest.
Is this how you feel when I say things?
Yes, all the time. You're welcome.
Oh God. Oh, all right. I had. I will occasionally have moments of what we call like luck stat checks. Okay. You know. And sometimes they're while I'm driving, and that's real exciting.
God.
I was driving a couple car lengths in front of Charles' best friend, former landlord. And it was in the winter. I was in a dumb high school boy car, and there was a crash, not like a collision, not like a fender bender, but like a fucking crash.
Oh my God.
That happened in my lane. Not far enough ahead of me. And he watched me like e-brake Mario Kart drift like semi-sideways into the other lane, not hitting the cars in that lane, but just swerving around the accident while speeding up. And he it was one of the only times I've ever gotten a text from him while he was driving, but he sent me a text that just said, "Wow, that was very well executed. Good job." Yeah. But
fuck,
yeah,
man.
But mostly it's, you know, finding opportune parking spots, which I prefer to that. And
sure. I mean, look, if you had to choose between the two of them, I would rather you got lucky during that situation than the parking spaces. But if you could choose not to have that situation at all,
right?
Like, it really depends on how we're going with this.
Exactly.
What the fuck have you been up to, James?
So the most recent one was date night. We decided that it was going to be like household family dinner thing. Okay. We decided that we were going to introduce our nephew to fondue, hot oil fondue because he's never had it. And so just, I'm going to try to summarize this as best as I autistically can. We were driving through a place where the power was off to the extent that several blocks were out, including the traffic lights and everything. I found out that nothing was open because the doors wouldn't even operate, the lights weren't on, and the like all of the coolers and everything like that. I wanted to pick up steak and shrimp for fondue. And of course, you're not going to want shrimp from a fridge that's been off all day. Right. Because then the fridge will be off and the shrimp will be off with it. Yes. So, I dropped Jax and Vinny off at home, drove to the Aldi that was closest, picked some stuff up, came back, like busily prepping stuff, which weirdly just cutting things and thawing the shrimp and that kind of stuff took me time. After everything that I had done that day, worked full day and, you know, driving people back and forth and also, you know, blah, 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 I'm tired. Get the fondue pot set out. Find the oil to put in it, all of that stuff. Everything's ready, except I can't find the fucking forks. And with hot oil, very particularly, because it's going to be in there a little while. Mm-hmm. You don't want to use an all metal fork. Correct. You want to use like a dining fork because that's, you will burn your hand. So, you know, I know that I had some, they came with the fucking fondue pot. And I also bought a backup set when I found one. Searching everywhere. Vinny's helping me. We're going through boxes in the basement. We're going through boxes in the garage. We've now like Viking ransacked every drawer in the kitchen and cabinet.
I got a great visual on that, so thank you.
Right. Yeah. We're pillaging the kitchen for fucking fondue forks and nothing. I undoubtedly will find them later, but I decided that I needed to buy some. The only place that I could find, you know, after Googling, the only place that I could find that guaranteed that they had some of the type that I was looking for, not the low temp ones for cheese and chocolate, but the high temp ones for everything.
Right.
Was a store that was closing in 15 minutes and it was 25 minutes drive.
Oh God.
So I was like, okay, you know, I can spend $17, you know, $16-$17 and get some that might survive the oil temperature, the boiling, literally boiling oil. We're just gonna try it. They're at a Michael's craft store for some reason.
What?
Who knows? Well, because like Target, Home Depot, all of these places, they had fondue forks, but you had to buy them with, you know, $200 worth of fondue kit. Yeah.
Right.
No thanks.
What kind of Michaels are you going to? What kind of seedy back alley Michaels?
Do not know. But I presume they're used for some fucking craft, like wax dipping or something.
Sure.
Maybe that's how they get the children's hands off of their arms in for the wax hands at Fest. I haven't been in there. I don't know. So, started driving to Michael's because they would be open, and along the way, just like something bothered me, and I asked for the closest thrift store, and it was a Savers. I was like, cool, that's closer, let's go there. And it was in the same place that had the power outage.
Okay.
Like the same shopping center and everything.
All right.
But in the meantime, the power had come back on.
Okay.
And they had people inside the Savers, so they were open for business.
Sure.
went in there, did not find any fondue kits, nothing like that. Because I was like, you know, it's going to be like 10, 20 bucks and it's going to come with forks.
Right.
But looked on the wall and for $2, there was a bag that had 8 fondue forks, a couple of chip clips, and some other stuff that we'd been looking for.
Nice.
And I just bought it and drove home.
Oh, that's so good.
Just, yeah, happened to go to the right savers, happened to, yeah, think of it before buying them for 9 times the amount and, you know, whatever. But like, that felt great. Came home, put all of the food back out on the table, heated the oil. We had amazing fondue.
And then fondue,
which is fucking spectacular.
It's been a while since I've had proper fondue. I guess, no, yeah. Joe and I went to a hot pot maybe about 6 months ago. It was pricey, but, you know, worth it.
Definitely worth it. I think the whole meal ended up costing us right around $43 because I bought like a take and bake loaf of like baguette, whatever. Then more steak and shrimp than we actually ended up using in one sitting, and some zucchini and some other stuff. But it ended up being pretty fucking reasonable. That was great. And then land party was this last weekend. And,
yay, party!
It felt cozy and happy. And we played a game with farting Cthulhu deer. It's a game called Oh Deer, where you're trying to convince a hunter that you are regular deer so that the hunter does not kill you. And you're just waiting for the hunter's sanity to reach zero so that you can kill the hunter. Kill and eat the hunter. Yep.
I have concerns.
That's, you know, otherwise it's functionally a prop hunt, but you have to manage and mitigate your hunger and also like your noises and how often you run on 2 legs instead of 4, all of that stuff. It's weird. It's very weird.
That does sound weird.
But it was fun and hilarious. Mm-hmm. So, nice. Strong recommend. It's like $10, which is a little more than I maybe would pay for it right now. I'd wait for a sale. I bought it at 5, which is the correct amount. Yeah. Okay. But finished Portal Revolution, the free mod for Portal 2. It's goddamn spectacular. It might be my favorite Portal mod.
Ooh.
The puzzles are like capital H hard, but if you've played through Portals 1 and 2 and you're looking for more of a challenge, Portal Stories Mel is quite good, but Portal Revolution is difficult. Strong recommend. And it's free. So
ooh, we do like free.
Yeah, if you already own Portal
free
2.
Free is a really good price.
Oh, Portal Stories Mel and Portal Revolution are both strong recommends. It is a complete fucking game. There is an arc. There are characters. The voice acting is glorious. The visuals are beautiful. So yeah, 10 out of 10 we'll recommend. We just hung out. We decided after much deliberation that the movie we really wanted to watch as a LAN was 1993's Hackers. I don't remember when Hackers came out. 1995? I don't know. Doesn't matter. It's bad, but we love it.
Oh, no, that's fair. Yeah, I'm like, oh, shit, when did that come out? I should know this one. I don't. Yeah. but no, that movie is... It actually, I think, helped define who I am as a girl. Because I was watching the chicks in that movie, and I was like, that is what I want to be. That looks powerful. That looks complete. So, yeah.
Yeah.
If you ever get a bit of an 80s vibe off me, yep.
Well, and I, I idolized so many of the characters in that.
Right. And like, it's not all great.
No.
From a this side of the veil perspective, but
we are older and wiser.
Yeah. Well, and society has grown too, which is honestly the most important part. But yeah.
That's most of what I've been up to.
Nice. So at the very beginning of this, you were asking if there were any in-joke bumper stickers. And I did think there are things that we say on the podcast, like, I had a date like that one, right? But I think, like, honestly, if I was to get something on a bumper sticker, there's a rule that I set up for myself at one point. Because I kind of grew up in a rather oppressive environment wasn't allowed to do much. And that developed a lot of anxiety and fear. And there would be things that I did not have the courage to do. And I developed the phrase, fuck it, let's play. And it really is just a way for like me mentally to be like, doesn't matter. Let's just go do the thing. Fuck all of these reasons for not, let's just go. And let's have a good time doing it.
Yeah.
So
it seems a lot more positive than fuck it, we'll do it live.
Right.
It seems more like optimistic and,
well, because ready. The fuck it isn't to a disaster. The fuck it is to something that's holding you back. And maybe it's a disaster. Maybe it's just your own self. But the fuck it is fuck what those people are saying. Fuck the, the possible 18 million ways it could go wrong. Just fuck it. Let's play. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So I think if I was going to have a more in... It's not really a joke, but in joke type bumper sticker, that would be the one I'd want.
Yeah. That's fair.
What about you, James? Oh, sure. You asked the question to me, but you don't have your own goddamn answer. I see.
There was somebody asked me to describe my older podcast that is on a permanent hiatus. And I said, it's Don Quixote tilting at the ruins of the Animal Farm windmill. And I think I would want to turn that into some kind of bumper sticker.
Okay.
Maybe like windmill 2024, something like that. I don't know. I like how bitter that is. I'm occasionally a bitter person, but very.
But you hide it so well.
Truly. Do I?
Yeah, you really do, though. Oh. And I think that's why it confuses people when every once in a while you'll let just a little bit of bitterness slip. People are like, what the fuck? Oh my god. James, are you okay? Do you need help? Yeah.
Yes and yes. it can be both.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think maybe we should take a break.
Yeah.
Sweet.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Oh, I could have talked about my office things. God damn it. I've been redoing my office things, and we're back, by the way.
oh.
And I'm Jenna.
I'm James.
Why not? Fuck it. There is no salsa!
Like the Matrix?
Chaos! No, I did... I've started redoing my at-home office because I realized part of my back problems were returning, and some of that was not having proper ergonomic whatnots for my home office.
Yeah.
So I got some proper ergonomic whatnots. But I also... So in that, I've been redoing the room itself. And so I got one of those sit-stand desks where you can push a button with the preset and it'll go to your optimal sitting spot. And then you push a button and it'll go to your standing spot. And you can
set a third button. For Jenna, this is a difference of 3 inches.
Shut up. No, here's the problem. So, but then I also got this office chair. And it's apparently the TikTok chair. I didn't even know this was a thing. I literally did not know. And then I post about it on Facebook and people are like, oh, is it the TikTok chair? And I'm like, I have no idea. Oh, I don't TikTok.
Yeah.
So I have no idea what you young whippersnappers are talking about. But no, it's the one that you can cross your legs and stuff in. I saw it and I was like, oh, I can sit bisexually in that all day long. Let's do this.
Correct. That is that is actually how it's been sold very frequently on TikTok. This is the most bisexual chair. Yeah.
Oh, well, I hate to accidentally fall into a trope, but if it means I can sit with one leg tucked under and one knee up to my chin, then I'm fucking in.
Yep.
So anyway. But here's the problem. My sit standing desk, so it goes, it'll go low so that you can sit at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It only goes so low. And my office chair only goes so high.
Oh.
And it happens that the lowest setting on the desk and the highest setting on the chair works. It is the correct angle, barely, right?
Yeah.
Like you're like, oh, that was a close call. But now I have the ultimate in short people problems. Dangling feet. Shut up. Shut up. You shut your mouth. Hush. You hush. I am a big, important office corporate-y person with my process management and my forecasting and my...
Who is so short that she can dangle her legs over the edge of a piece of toilet paper. Jenna, who is so short
I am...
that she goes shopping for pleated skirts in the baking aisle.
I am very important Fortune 5 company, uppity up in a blazer and an office chair with a sit-standing desk and dangling feet.
So the economy is that somewhere somebody's office Barbie is naked.
It's a really nice outfit. And anybody who's done ergonomic stuff at the office before knows that you should have your feet flat for proper ergonomic.
Ideally, yeah.
And I have, this is not the first time this specific situation has come up for me in my corporate office career. Usually what they do is they pull out like a low flat step for you to put your feet on. I'm very angry about this. You're not helping.
I don't make things better. I just make them more.
More.
Yeah.
So normally I just get a step, and you can do that. Mm-hmm. You can go online and you can get a little step thing for like 15, 20 bucks.
Sure.
Which seems like a ridiculous amount of money to me. Like, I will go, we don't have phone books anymore, but I will go find some to have under my feet before I spend 20 goddamn dollars on a stair that goes nowhere. Yeah.
Gotta go to the fucking Smithsonian for the Yellow Pages now.
But I was looking around at various things. In the under the desk section of Google. And, You'd be amazed what you can find under Google Shopping nowadays.
I don't know that I would. Those are some very specific and well-worn search terms.
But I found, because I've thought about this before as well, like little exercise machines. Like you can do the little cycling pod thing, or they even have like a treadmill for, you know, standing desk treadmill stuff and things like that. And then for $30, I found a little stepping machine. Just little steppy steps. It goes up and down. One goes up, one goes down, and you can alternate, and you can set the resistance and the all of these other things. But when it's level, when the two pedals are level with each other, they're at the exact right height for my ergonomic needs.
Oh.
So, I got a little step machine. And it is... Okay, I don't have ADD or ADHD or sure. any of that, right?
Yeah.
I do have a brain injury, so sometimes my brain works in this slightly similar patterns.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is the best fidget spinner ever.
Yeah.
Because I can just do like little toe presses while I'm in the middle of a boring meeting and I'm working out my calves and I'm fidgeting, but I'm also very focused as to what's going on right in front of me. It's so good. Oh my God. And this is why I wanted to tell this story. I am recommending to all of my friends who are in similar positions, maybe not with the height. But, you know, with the needing a fidget spinner, maybe exercise stuff, whatever. High recommend. This has been the smartest thing I have done with my money in forever.
Oh.
So, yeah.
High praise.
Yeah. Forever. Or at least
forever.
Since last week.
Forever.
So, yeah. High recommend. Do yourself a favor. Do that thing. It will not disappoint. and that is my office story. Hey, James. Are you interested in a Fast Five?
Fast Five.
Yay!
Woo!
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... I lost it entirely. Drew Zastera.
Zastera. Zastera. Zastera. Zastera. Well, good. We'll fix that in post.
Yes.
I'm sure.
Okay, so I don't generally get to see these emails.
Yeah.
Entry 99 TS, yes. I don't know if that means anything. Oh, time sensitive. Aha. Yeah. Yes. So, is it time sensitive? Why, yes, it is. It says, yes, ooh, before the Renaissance Festival.
Ooh.
Opening thoughts. Bored at work with some downtime.
Hmm.
Perfectly fair.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Are we ready?
I think so.
Question number one. I heard it. Great.
Good. Yeah.
Yes or no?
Fuck. no with an and, yes with a but. I mean, I want to say yes. I want to say yes. I feel like I'm a person who says yes to the point where it has gotten me in trouble.
I would agree with that.
Those end up being great stories. So yeah, I'm going to stick with yes.
I feel like it's really hard to say no when you've done improv or taken classes. Or even discussed the idea of improv.
Yeah.
I'm having a real hard time, but I have been learning how to establish boundaries.
Ooh, shit. Yeah.
So I am going to say no.
Oh. There is
until I have more information.
There's a video game.
Mm.
That's just say no more, or it's what is it? No, say no, and no is in quotes more. And they assign you action buttons, and the action buttons are different ways to say no with increasing severity or power.
Oh my God.
Or gusto. And you can like charge your no, and so like bosses will storm up to you in the I ate all my lunch and I'm still hungry. Give me your lunchbox. And no, and then the boss will at low levels just like you punched him or something like that. At high levels, he'll like fly over a balcony and go through the wall or something like you.
Oh wow!
Like kaiju fight. Punched him through a building, something. Yeah. It's very dumb and extremely fun. So if yeah, great practice. But
all right.
Still, yes, for me. No for you. Okay.
Question number two. Absolutely.
Mm.
Or hell no. I feel like we might be playing this game right now. Let's see. Absolutely.
I think I say absolutely a lot more than I say hell no. With one exception, and that is Malort.
Malort is a good exception. I say hell no a lot, but I live with Joe. So...
Yeah.
There's definitely that. I'm trying to think. Okay, because Drew said before the Renaissance Festival.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of absolutely or hell no as far as how that might pertain to the Renaissance Festival.
Yeah.
It might not at all. But I at least want to give it a. You know, the college try, as it were.
Yeah.
Let's see. Would you
mm-hmm.
Spend a 100-degree day in a court outfit. I think you may have whistled there. We picked up nothing.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely did. Wow.
Kind of a whoo kind of a thing, I'm guessing. Yeah.
So here's the thing.
All right.
In tights and a doublet and a, you know, all of that, get up? No.
Okay.
In a gown? Maybe.
No. Nope. Nope. Absolutely worse. A court gown is several different layers. I think when we had Rachel on, she described 15 different layers.
Yeah.
The corset alone. Because I have worn court gowns before, and I would absolutely rather wear tights and a doublet. Hands fucking down. I would rather wear velvet tights, those poofy ass pumpkin pants, a shirt and a doublet with sleeves than wear. I would wear three layers of that. Well, maybe not three, but I would definitely wear even more than that before I had to wear a court gown on a hot day. It seems like it would be cooler because you can kind of switch the hoop skirt and get air in there. No, not. Okay. Nope. Does not.
That's
help.
What I was informed of was that was how they stayed cool. But and having worn.
It is. Yeah. It is a way to stay cooler, but not necessarily.
Yeah. Cool. I was going to say, I definitely trust your. And Rachel's expertise. Over that. Yeah.
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 Do not want, would not do.
Hell.
Yeah, there's a reason why I don't wear court gowns. That would be a hell no for me. I would not do a day in court. And nope. All done.
I miss I think that I probably always will now. Miss the days when you get up and you want to have a cloak and a doublet on you. You know, those days when at the fencing booth, people are ready to get into the jackets.
Right.
Yeah. those are nice days. Yeah,
they are. So,
but I think if that is anything like the context, I think I'm going to say hell nah. If it's are you ready for the Renaissance Festival, also hell no.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't be absolutely, but I know where my costume is. I know where my boots are.
Ooh. That's like knowing where your towel is.
I've been doing some prep work. I would say I'm probably in a better state this year than I have been for others. But yeah, I still would. I don't think I could ever give an absolutely to are you ready for a fest. And that's basically because there's always something else you could be doing, right?
That's very true.
I feel like it's working on a show, like writing a show.
Yeah.
Where there is always something you could adjust or change or whatever up until the point that it gets shipped away or started or is put on stage. Like, I just, so, yeah, I would probably lean hell no, but I'm actually not feeling that underprepared so far.
Sure.
There are other things I wanted to get done. Yep. Not happening. Hopefully happening. I'm still fine.
And if Jenna doesn't feel prepared, there is no hope for the rest of us.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Hell no to that as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Question number three. Of course. Or lol, no. Let's see. What can we come up with for this?
Are you going to eat out there? Are you going to... Oh. I mean, there's that. But also, are you going to... They can feel how greasy your expression is. This is like, are you going to get food from the vendors out there, or are you going to bring food, something like that?
I usually do get food from the vendors, but I don't know. I have a major problem, and that major problem is I forget to eat. So I often, it's hard for me to even like really think about what to bring for food, let alone then eating it. For me at Fest usually is I should eat something. It's a good thing there's a plethora of food booths over there.
Yeah.
From which I can purchase food.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I wonder if they've got anybody new this year.
I don't know. The one thing, like, switching from entertainment to games, I feel like games is the last to know about anything happening anywhere on site. Entertainment, there was mass communication going out all the time. And I assume there's at least some communication that happens for crafts, but... games, we just show up and we're like, hey guys, we're here to run a game, and they're like, cool.
Yeah,
that's,
we have our safety meetings,
that's it,
and then if it is food booths, I love finding the new, especially the new independent food booths, but also getting a crepe from Arthur and Nikki's place that's a staple for me. So that's hangover breakfast. I will absolutely always do
right.
That.
Well, and I like the crepes. I don't think I used to get the crepes as often until I started doing Booth, because crepes are such a staple for Booth.
Yeah.
That.
Well, and that was right around the time that the Scotch Egg Booth got sold off. And, internalized, corporatized instead of being an independent. And so they no longer did the Danes special, which is, in my opinion, one of the world's finest hangover breakfasts.
If anybody was going to invent that, it would be Dane. Yes.
It's true.
I've known the man the vast majority of my life. Yeah. Yep.
It's got all four meat groups. And gravy, which is the liquid meat group. So, strong recommend. I would go with it's of course, is it? Or
Of course, or Lulno?
I'll go with of course.
Of course, you're going to visit the establishments.
Yeah.
Cool. Yes. Then I will go with that too, because I think the way you had phrased it was, do you bring your own or do you buy out a booth?
Right. Yeah. Which, sorry.
But that's all right. We can adjust.
Yeah.
We can move. I will also go with, of course, but that's only because I don't bring food, so I won't bring it. Question number four. Paper or plastic? Paper for most things. I will say, you know what? I'm going to go folded fan on this one.
Oh.
Yeah. That's what I've decided. And frankly, I love my fabric one. But I would assume that could fall under the paper aspect of it, as opposed to the plastic ones that they'll pretend to be like fake bones or whatever.
Yeah. Those wooden, like the sandalwood ones that fall apart instantly.
Yeah, but I do. I do love the sandalwood ones, because
they look gorgeous
when they work. Like, and you get just that little touch of sandalwood off of it
with each
fan breeze, and you're like, oh. Mm. And then 3 minutes later, you're like, well, that's broken. But yes, for those 3 minutes, it's beautiful.
Yeah. 3 minutes of orgiastic joy. I'm trying to think, like paper cups or plastic cups. No.
I mean, it could be, do you just, when you get a drink out at Fest, do you keep the plastic cup or do you transfer it?
Or it could be, how do you spend your money at Fest?
Oh, ooh.
Hmm.
And that one depends though.
Yeah. I tend to make a lot more small purchases. I think I make like one or maybe two large purchases each year. And it's usually for my kit, like buying pouches buying a fan or buying something like that. But that's most of what I do. Because when I was a patron, all day long, I'd biddy biddy bum. Yeah, basically, you're going to the Renaissance Festival to buy and do fun shit. Mm-hmm. That is a shopping opportunity and experience.
Yes.
That is, I have to say, kind of without peer. There are shopping experiences that are as good, but they are different.
Sure.
These are some of the last places where you'll find craftsperson things, artifacts of like an older time, legitimately made by hand, legitimately time spent on them. That is worth your money. But as someone who works out there and has spent time buying a lot of that, it is, most of what I'm doing is just maintenance.
Okay.
Adding a pouch, something like that, replacing a pouch, instead of buying something new and fabulous for myself. I know a lot of people during their season, they look for that thing that they're going to treat themselves with.
Treat yourself.
But yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it really, it kind of depends too on if am I changing characters?
Oh shit. Yeah.
Am I changing entire departments?
Mm-hmm.
There it went. Okay. I've been struggling with that specific thing for like 5 minutes now, and I'm like, would you just anyway. But no, like what am I changing up this particular year?
Yeah.
And it's been weird not changing things up for a few years.
Sure.
I've been able to invest in things like color coordinated ribbons for my costume stuff.
Oh yeah.
I did
buy a ribbon for my mug last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, being able to get, kind of those other things that are like the little extra added details. And not have to worry about, is this something that's going to work with next year's character that I find myself in or what have you. So
yeah, I'm still wearing, like, I have bought a couple extra shirts and pants, but I am still wearing the same shirt, pants, belt, and some of my pouches are the same as when I first worked at Fest 26 years ago.
Oh man, 26 years. That's such a long time.
Yeah, I've just been like...
I'm being a dick about it. That is actually a long time.
Consider that most people working at Fest are not that old. I'm the... so there's that.
I'm actually rather proud of you for that one. That one was good.
Thanks. but yeah, I think, you know, buying a new costume, making a new character, something like that. Jesus. Just realizing how much of my kit would would and wouldn't transfer over. Yeah, that's a lot.
I do have, I have one pouch that I stole from my baby daddy. And I like keeping that one on me most times, but I think most of my costume has shifted severely over the years, one way or the other.
Sure.
Well, and a part of that is when you're a belly dancer, you really don't carry around much of anything.
Yeah.
A lot of what you do is more like hair accessory, jewelry focused, shifting and changing. Or fun dance props. But it's not a lot of the new pouch or all of the rest of that stuff. It's just, you know. So yeah. Anyway, what was the question? Oh, paper or plastic? Oh, how do you buy things? Primarily paper. Was the context that we had decided.
Mostly
about,
paper.
So. Yeah, I'm going to say primarily paper, plastic for a few things.
Good.
All right. Question number 5. 5, 5, 5, 5. Inside or outside?
Oh. Huh.
When it's raining, where do you go? Do you try to find cover or do you go out and play with the masses?
I mean, historically,
the very hidden masses.
Historically, I go out.
Yeah.
I will absolutely go entertain people huddled under trees and like fucking fraternity packed into gazebos and
yes,
all of that shit. I love that. I will absolutely do that. So I think outside, like, it's, man, it just, like, it ruins whatever you're wearing. It does. But fuck, I love it.
Yeah. For me, it depends on a couple of different things. Is it a Saturday or a Sunday?
Oh.
I'm much more likely to go play in the rain on a Sunday.
Makes sense.
I do keep extras of both my chemise and my leggings.
Yeah.
For every day. So, like, I've got three sets. Because Labor Day, Jesus Christ. Mostly, yeah. I don't like being funky. To the extent that I can help it. But if it's a Sunday, I am much more likely to go play in the rain because there's still the bodice, there's still the skirts. I can strip some of that, but I'm not here to do a wet chemise contest, so
I just ended up throwing a pair of socks the fuck away. I had a rain play day with Kyle, to the extent that at some point we both sat down and we were still telling jokes while we were pulling our feet out of our boots, emptying our boots, wringing our fucking socks out, putting them back on, and then stuffing them back into damp boots.
Oh,
and
God.
My boots had mostly dried overnight. But my socks were still, they were so fucking soaked that they were still dripping wet in the morning, even though I had done my best to wring them out.
Sure.
Both during the afternoon and in the evening. And I had hung them up and they were still disgusting. So I was just like, you know what? they deserve a break. I'm throwing them away. They're done.
All this right.
Not spark joy.
You have done your duty. Thank you for your service.
Yep.
If it's a Sunday, I'm much more likely. The amount of rain can also be a factor. If it's a light drizzle, that's not even rain. Why are we having this conversation? If it's a decent amount, I'm probably still going to go play, but I'll do it, you know, more studiously.
Sure.
If it's absolute torrential downpour, it really depends on my mood.
That's very fair.
Sometimes I'm like, nope, fuck that shit. And sometimes I'm like, puddles. So, I think that I play in the rain less than I used to. But I also have lots of old rain toys that I like to give to other people for them to go out and play in the rain. What?
Describe this to me. I am unfamiliar.
Rain toys?
With
you haven't been around for an afternoon
toys.
When I've started giving rain toys out. A lot of old netty props. So like my fishing net. Fishing. The little plastic fish that I would give to kids. I still have some of those.
That's good.
Oar. Is just a fun rain day toy.
Start rowing a bench. Yeah.
Yeah. The giant ass jump rope thing. It's not specifically a rain toy, but it is definitely a toy that can be used in the rain.
When it rains, every ride at Valley Fair is a water ride.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, things like that. Because sometimes it is very helpful to have a prop to when the patrons are hiding, sometimes you have to create more spectacle. And props can be very helpful in that.
Oh, yeah. So. Your theater has to be much bigger. Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah.
That's fair.
That's it. So I'm going to say probably inside at this point in my life and career.
Wholeheartedly support.
All right. All right. Opening up email number two.
Email number two.
Question number one, yes or no? What did you say, James?
I think I said yes.
I think you said yes and I said no.
Seems
context.
Right.
Is this a paid gig? Am I going to get paid for submitting a Fast Five?
You know what?
Not for me.
Yeah, I'll bring you a beer.
All right, there you go. Paid gig. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Question number two. Absolutely or hell no. If I were to ask you for money, would you give it to me? I think my response was hell no. I think yours was too, because
I think
we
it was.
Decided on, yeah.
Yeah. And the answer is actually yes, in payment for your work.
Mine is actually, I would say it depends on how much you need, Betty, because if you need $5 to
also true
grab some food out at Fest, sure, I will absolutely 100%. do that for you, friend. If you want $1 million, no.
Yeah.
Number one, I can't. Number two, I won't.
$1 million.
Context number three, can I have $20? Oh, wait, the question was, of course, or lol, no. Context is, can I have $20? Yeah, all right. I'll give you $20. You have to come to me, though.
Yeah.
Good luck finding me.
I will buy
and
you.
And it will all be in pennies.
Ass pennies. I'll buy you a beer and a burger. That's $20.
There you go. Yes. So the answer is, of course. All right. Question number four, paper or plastic? What is your preferred method of commerce, cash or card digital? So hell got yes. that one.
Yeah.
I actually, overall, I prefer digital, card or digital. I feel like I can keep track of my finances better that way.
Really? Yeah, I've considered using the envelope system for saving money. Because people, I guess, have a really good and easy time saving up huge amounts of cash by using the envelope system. But I have just downloaded an app called YNAB. You need a budget.
Okay.
And it is designed to help you slowly fill... Like it creates within itself a series of separate bank accounts, basically, in order to fill up meters for different bills at the end of the month, in the middle of the month, whatever. Weekly shit like groceries. Then so you're setting that money aside into little accounts, which is kind of the envelope system, but digitally. So I'm giving that a shot, but we'll see how that goes. It is easier for me to not overspend if I am using cash, because you can't.
There is a definite finish point to the amount of cash that you have on hand.
Yeah. And it is one of those things where, like, every project, the first 90% takes, or the first 10% takes like 90% of the time, and then the remaining 90% takes 100% of the time on top of the 90% of the time. But it's kind of the same thing with paying with cash, is that if I've got $200 on me, that first 100 goes immediately. But if I, have that 200 and I spend the first 100 in like 2-3 days, then that remaining 100 lasts me for the next week and a half.
Sure.
And the less I have, the longer it lasts. And I remember making $7 last me for like 3 days. And I'm sure that I can. It is just so easy to pay with a card.
Yeah, it really is.
Kind of a problem for me, at least.
Yeah, it really
is. So I've been looking, trying YNAB, and I've also been trying withdrawing a certain amount of cash each week with that week's expenditures in mind.
Sure.
And so that's what I'm working on. So I think I'm going to go with paper. Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with paper.
Yeah, I'm going to plastic. I actually, is one of the things I do, I have a secret savings account. So I have my regular savings account, and then I have a secret savings account that I do not touch. The money weekly automatically just gets pulled out, and it goes into that account that I do not look at.
Yeah.
And this worked great for the room party, because I opened it up one day and I went, oh, shit.
There you go.
Saved. Hooray. Yeah. It's really nice to have something that just automatically puts money in a savings for me that I don't look at. It's not in my bank. It's actually a PayPal savings account, weirdly enough.
Yeah. I've got one through Cash App. Or Credit Karma? Something? Credit Karma. It works out really well. But so far I have been occasionally going in to withdraw money, to like dig myself out. Well, 'cause I have that money to dig myself out.
Right.
But.
Yeah. As soon as it becomes more of a commonplace than a.
Yeah.
Then a once in a while, then that trick doesn't work as well. But also, it's way easier for me to forget that I have that other savings account if it's on a completely different system.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Also, it's pretty decent APR for the PayPal one. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's shocking. It's like fucking 4%.
Yeah.
For a lot of those.
Mine's like 4.3 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Haven't seen rates like that for 40 years.
Pro tip. I mean, you know, have at whatever.
Yeah.
All right. So question number 5, inside or out? On a hot day, do you cook inside or outside?
Ooh.
On a hot day, I order Caffrey's and I eat a chicken salad wrap.
Oh my God, and a bag of chips. Amazing. On a hot day.
One of the other things I typically do during the summer is I will pre-make cold foods, like a potato salad. Or back when I ate more pasta, different pasta salads. Things that are an easy scoop, you don't have to cook, and you have food right in front of you. And it's cold. I used to do that a lot more. I used to do a lot of pasta salads, and I just... Gluten-free pasta does exist. It does not maintain its pastiness.
Yeah.
If it's sitting for a while.
Yeah, it just turns into warm liquid goo.
Gloomp.
Yeah. Gruel.
So not as much of that, although I do have potato salad in my fridge. So
show me potato salad. Yeah,
it's all the way downstairs, James. Yeah, never mind. Yeah.
I should get into making potato salad. I do love potato salad. But, I love tuna salad a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say on a hot day, I don't generally cook outside. I don't generally cook outside on any day. I have a Joe. And he is the great grill master, so.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
cooking outside, to me, makes a lot of sense because then the heat is outside of the house.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely makes sense.
And yet. Direct sunlight.
Right.
Is bad for me.
Or cooking outside when it's like 100 degrees out versus cooking inside where you have your AC set to 65.
Yeah.
Like there is also that option, that thing to be taken into account.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know.
Honestly, Joe does the majority of the cooking now, so.
For the LAN party, they grilled all beef franks and some hamburgers and stuff, and we had cheeseburgers and hot dogs.
Nice.
And grilling them, they're like weirdly exquisite. It's just so goddamn delicious.
Nice.
So I think I'm gonna go with outside because I want to cook outside functionally as much as possible over the fire, on a grill, on a griddle, whatever it is. I love cooking outside because the flavor is,
I mean,
goddamn delicious.
Yeah, there is definitely that aspect.
Yeah. So.
All right. That was our fast five. The closing thoughts. Are you ready?
No.
Nope.
No.
I mean, God, I'm not terrified, but I'm not ready. I will be ready in a bit.
Slightly terrified.
I'm just like, it would be disappointing if I didn't get this thing done. But like,
sure.
Yeah.
You have this thing, organization.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's not as good as since before the hit to the head, but a certain level of executive function. Man, sure. That'll really get you pretty fucking far.
Yeah. I can only imagine.
Weird. I know. I feel so bad. I have a little, it's almost like survivor's guilt. Like, oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're watching the rest of us crash in the plane. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just like, but you guys, sorry.
That was my six-word tragedy. Arctic survivor found, full but lonely.
Oh, I need to lose weight.
Oh. Well, there's that.
Yeah. I wanted to make a long pig joke, and it wasn't quite there. Damn it. Anyway, if you would like to submit a Fast Five, and I know you do, you can go to aonpodcast.com, click on the forums, click on the Fast Five, submit all of that information to us. I feel like you know what to do. I feel like me reiterating this over and over again hasn't worked, so I'm just going to stop. I'm just never going to say it again. Just, you know, assume that we always need Fast Fives. I honestly don't know if we have any Fast Fives in the hopper. Like, Salsa sent me one.
Mm-hmm.
For tonight, this one. But I don't know if we have any left, so...
I don't think we do.
I feel like last time we talked to Salsa, there wasn't a lot there.
Yeah.
If you want to hear James and I debate a variety of Renaissance Festival questions. There's your theme. Mm-hmm. Have at.
Mm-hmm.
Ask something embarrassing.
Ask us five questions about Morris dancing.
We should have Stefan back on.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, yeah. Hey, James, do you have any shout-outs?
I do. My shout out is to best friend, former landlord Charles, and his whole household for hosting a quarterly LAN party that is an amazing time to catch up with people that I very rarely get to see in person and to just be sort of relaxed and irresponsible. Ooh. For a couple of days, and he has even started printing little 3D plastic badges to commemorate each LAN that go on the side of your computer. So or that I've got a little like carrying case for a lot of my controllers and mice and stuff that I bring with me, and they're stuck to the side of that, and it's just an amazing time to get together with a dozen friends, sometimes more. Jesus, sometimes it's like 20 friends. I'm all playing computer games together, and even if you're not all playing the same game, it's a really good experience. So my thanks to those folks for going to all that effort.
Yeah, that sounds delightful. I am going to give my shout out to Fringe Technicians.
Ooh, yeah.
Because it is Fringe Tech Week, and these poor people are going to be going insane. They do so much for the Fringe. They deal with every level of technical competence for the stage. Producers that have never done a thing, producers that have done a million things. They have to know those grids to make sure that they can give you the best possible outcome for your show. And they do very sincerely work for the best possible outcome technically for every show. And it is just, it's incredible work what they do. They do not, get enough credit. Yeah. And I definitely wanted to give them a shout out. And, you know, my tots and pears during this trying week. So good luck, friends. We salute you.
Excellent.
Do you have anything to plug?
Coming up during the Renaissance Festival, if you find that what you really, really want as a patron is to come get drunk with a couple of weirdos, have some chicken wings and various dip-in snacks and meats and cheeses other than that, along with really a lot of beer and pretty decent beer at that. I would say come see me at the 5:30 p.m. show on Saturdays. It is now called Last Call. It used to be a lot of other things, but we have a
like
fun
many
show.
Things at the Renaissance Festival. It has had several identity crises.
Yeah, it took us a couple of tries to hammer it out, but by week three last year, we had a flow, and people really seemed to like it, and we have a ton of fun doing it. So come drink with us and enjoy. We've got great music, and we're fun people. So yeah, enjoy, party.
Hooray! I will also be at the Renaissance Festival. I will be at the fencing booth in the morning. You know where to find me, and if you don't, ask.
Learn, ask
somebody how to get to the fencing booth. It's pretty simple. But I'll be there every morning, so come pester me. Come stop by and tell me ridiculous puns. God knows friends who tell puns do that to me.
There were some audible quotes around the word friends, but yes.
Yes. So that's me at the Renaissance Festival. Also, this Fringe Festival... being performed at the Phoenix Theater. We have the Mixed Scottish Play as a part of the Minnesota Fringe Festival. This is the play Salsa and I have been talking about. I'm going to read the snippet. When Mark decided to direct Macbeth for his senior project, no one warned him it would be cursed. Now he's trapped in medieval Scotland with no way home. And his cast isn't faring any better. This production is the writing and brainchild and being produced by our good friend Thomas T.
Yeah.
And it is just a happy little jaunt. It is fantastical. It is adorable. There are some beautifully heartfelt moments in it. Definitely add that one to your Fringe list. I guess Salsa is directing that or something. I don't know. Something like that. I may have done some fight choreo for it. We did have the tech last night, and I was so proud of my little fighters. Aww. I love having that moment where I'm just like, yeah. So come see it. I will make sure that the link gets in the show notes. I'm sure Salsa will make sure that the link gets in the show notes. I'm looking for the actual dates on here. Because I decided to look at the actual, at the Facebook thing. I'll just go to it real quick.
And,
okay,
we can also
go.
Provide the link to the... to the thing, but yes,
that's what I'm saying. Yep.
Yeah.
So the dates are Thursday the 1st at 10 p.m. Saturday the 3rd at 7 p.m. Thursday the 8th at 8:30 p.m. That one has audio description. Saturday the 10th at 1 p.m. and Sunday the 11th at 5:30 p.m. So those are when you can see it. Link will be in the show notes. Come support some local theater and maybe check out some other shows while you're fringing, because especially at the Phoenix Theater, where our show is at, there's a lot of good stuff to see. So come on out and see it.
I'm deeply excited.
With that, are there any other final thoughts?
Bye, bye, I love you, bye, bye, bye.
In that case, I want to say thank you to Drew. Zastara, 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 Zastara. That awfulness was just for you, Drew. Thank you so much for that Fast Five. couldn't have done it without you. On behalf of myself and James and Salsa, wherever he may be, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, Salsa.
Cha. Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.